And what a blessing to know that Anita had that assurance. And even now, rejoicing in your presence, Father, having that promise fulfilled in her life. No more walking by faith, but walking by sight there in your very presence. I pray, Father, for your comfort upon Ron, David, Susie, and Melanie, and the families that have gathered here, for the friends as well. We are going to greatly miss Anita and the life of faith and joy that she brought into our lives as well. We just pray, Father, that everything that is said and done here today would bring honor and glory to your great name. For we pray this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Steve?
Would you take your hymnals if you need them? Otherwise, the words are projected behind me. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. Would you stand with me as we sing?
Scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 23. Very familiar psalm for many, I'm sure. As Susie mentioned, this was one of the psalms that in her early childhood that Anita had her memorize, and it's a great one to memorize. As we look and see the relationship that the psalmist had with the shepherd, it begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What assurance for the child of God that, especially that last verse, that goodness and mercy are going to follow us all the days of our life. And my dwelling place is eternally secure through Jesus Christ. And Anita knew that. And we're so glad that she did. And she willingly and joyfully passed that on to anybody else who would listen to that wonderful message. Steve's going to come back in just a moment, but I wanted to read the obituary for Anita Diane Peterson. It's found in the back of your bulletin there. And this is for the benefit of those who are listening and following on the live stream, because they don't have this before them. So you'll pardon me for reading it through, even though you could read it yourself. But I'm reading it for them. Anita Diane Peterson of Fort Myers, Florida, passed peacefully on to her heavenly home while surrounded by her family on March 2nd, 2024. After a long battle with Parkinson's and dementia. Anita was born May 8, 1943, to the late Melvin and Celia Sikorsky Mattson. She spent many of her childhood years in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where she loved to climb trees and do gymnastics. She was a free-spirited country girl at heart. She moved to Minneapolis, Minnesota with her mother, and she was a teen and graduated from West High School in 1961. Her first job was at the age 16, working as a nurse's aide at Walker Methodist and 1 year later, Abbott Northwestern Hospital. In high school, she learned to play the piano, sang in the choir, and took baton. Now, that's an interesting class to take baton. She participated in her church youth group called the High C Club, where she met and fell in love with Ron Peterson. After high school, they eloped to Wakefield, Michigan, where they were married December 1st, 1961, followed by a honeymoon in Silver Bay, Minnesota, at Finstad's Resort on Lake Superior. The next 20 years of Anita's life were devoted to being a loving wife and mother to her three children. She loved all things related to homemaking and the domestic arts. These especially included gardening, canning and freezing summer produce from her vegetable garden, cooking, baking, entertaining, especially on the holidays, sewing, crafting, embroidery, and crocheting. And during these years, she also had a cleaning business where she quickly gained a reputation for her meticulous care and detail. After the children were grown and left the nest, Anita worked as a program aide for her local elementary schools, both at Columbia Elementary and Centennial Elementary in Lino Lakes, Minnesota. She loved working with and heading up the crafts with the children. She was overjoyed as the years passed when the children, as they grew older, would regularly come back to visit her. Anita enjoyed hobbies aside from the domestic arts. These included downhill skiing, especially in the mountains, cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, all things lake life, reading nonfiction, and music. And she was always involved in her church through singing in choir and regular Bible studies and social participation. God was a central part of her life, from which she depended upon for all of life's challenges as well as for joy. She held steadfast to her belief in knowing that this earth was not her home and she was just traveling through. Anita was preceded in death by her brothers Arlen and Kent Mattson. She is survived by her loving husband of 62 years, Ronald C. Peterson of Fort Myers, Florida, three children, David Peterson of Hood River, Oregon, Suzanne Wright, Michael of Excelsior, Minnesota, Melanie Sams, did I say that right? Of Chicago, Illinois, one sister, Meredy Benham John of Blaine, Minnesota, and four adored grandchildren, Wave, Isabella, Christina, and Anton. And we'll be having a family graveside service again after the lunch. It's slated for 1:30 this afternoon at Fort Snelling National Cemetery. Steve is going to come and lead us in another favorite hymn of Anita's, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
If you need the book, it's hymn number 161. testing your memory.
It seems that no matter how hard we try, that technology sometimes doesn't come through for us. But you did well. And one of the great hymns of the faith to be able to sing in loving memory of Anita Peterson. At this time, we have some family memories that are going to be shared with us. And I think Melanie is going to come at this time, and then after her, Susie is going to be playing a song on the piano. Melanie.
So how does one summarize the memory of a mother in a few words? These are the words: devoted homemaker, faithful, sentimental, and musical. First and foremost, I'm certain my mother's purpose in life was fulfilled by being a homemaker. As a homemaker, my mom excelled through her creativity, cooking skills, hospitality, adaptability, and empathy. She loved crafts and using them to make any house feel like a home. Over the years, her homes were filled with embroidery, needlepoint, crocheted placemats, and slippers, Afghan blankets, sewing projects, ceramics, even wooden sleds, all things bunny rabbits, silk floral arrangements, and natural arrangements made with pussy willows or cattails or pine cones collected from the surrounding northwoods she loved. She was adept at cooking delicious meals and nutritious meals, catering to the different tastes and dietary needs, including even gluten-free. When it came to food, it had to be homemade. She spent hours reading cookbooks and magazines, trying new recipes and reading about nutrition. Store-bought birthday cakes were taboo, and she always made sure we always got our favorite. Store-bought sweetened cereals and sodas were also banned, but she even persuaded us to use flaxseed and wheat germ on our cereal in her quest for teaching us healthy habits. Swedish pancakes were a breakfast favorite many weekends, and especially if company was coming, we could count on her homemade caramel rolls. Even her cobbler was made with home canned peaches. Sunday dinners were especially special and accompanied by an ample supply of homemade gravy to fill my brother's bottomless mashed potato gravy boat. And then let's not forget the wild game. She even managed to nail that too. And then of course there was hospitality. As a hostess, she spent days preparing for company, and her favorite aspect of hosting guests was creating a menu, delicious food, and setting a beautiful table to incorporate all of her craft projects and homemade floral arrangements. But the best family gatherings were the ones that ended with a game of Scrabble. And speaking of adaptability, she adapted to changing circumstances and challenges, always maintaining a functional home environment. She managed to care for a family of five in a camper, in a two-room cabin, and even helped build a rustic one-room cabin up on a lake. And even when the family boat capsized in the frigid waters of Brule Lake in the Peterson version of Swiss Family Robinson, she still managed to cook a hot meal by boiling eggs in a metal salt shaker over an open fire, and even served it with homemade hot chocolate. But most of all, she was empathetic. She understood the needs and emotions of family members, providing support, care, and empathy when needed. She was the ultimate nurse, always applying the right blend of toughness and nurturing. She'd assert practical skills to restore you to good health with persistent care, plenty of fluids, homemade rice pudding, soft-boiled eggs and toast, and homemade chicken soup. Everything always homemade. Mom was faithful. In addition to being faithful to her husband and family, she was most faithful to God. She had a Bible verse for every situation. There was nothing she wouldn't do for her family, and when her family didn't treat her well, she turned to Ephesians 4:32, and she would quote, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." She assures us today to put aside regrets or guilt and know we are forgiven. Mom was sentimental. When it came to kindness, Mom's role model was longtime friend Nancy Flink. She had the greatest admiration for Nancy. Nancy exuded the tender-hearted kindness my mother valued. One of the many acts of kindness from Nancy was gifts of her hand-painted ceramics. One of these treasures was a tiny little turtle that adorned a terrarium in the house in St. Cloud. I was just under 5 years old, but I remember we liked to play with it, and I think one of us actually broke it. I don't know if it was me or one of my siblings. But even after she passed, that little turtle was still in her jewelry box as a memento of her affection for Nancy, who painted it. Finally, Mom was musical. Her sentimental nature was also evident in her love of music. To her, a home was not a home without a piano. While she loved to sing and play, she diminished her own abilities and made certain all her children had access to play a musical instrument. When we were young, she'd play an upbeat version of Try a Little Tenderness that might have been similar to what she heard in the original 1932 recording by the Ray Noble Orchestra. What was special about this music is when she played it, we caught a glimpse of the youthful girl our mother once was, and we loved it. But the song that she loved most that will live in our hearts as her song is "The Shadow of Your Smile." It begins, "The shadow of your smile, when you are gone, will color all my dreams and light the dawn." The refrain, "Now when I remember spring, all the joy that love can bring, I will be remembering the shadow of your smile."
wonderful memories
to think back upon and meditate upon and enjoy.
This was written by my wife, who is also very sentimental. And she said, you know, Carrie, I'm not going to get through this. So I want you to read it. And so she writes, I represent my whole Flink family in giving our sympathies to Ron, David, Susie, and Melanie and their family and friends at the loss of our precious Anita. I was privileged to have my path of life cross with Anita in St. Cloud, Minnesota, when I was a new bride 51 years ago. There a bond was made that would stand the test of time. Anita was more than a friend. She took me into her life as a sister. I knew her as my best friend, lifelong pen pal, and a godly woman that I saw as a wonderful example to follow. In times of joy, she was there to celebrate with me. She hosted my baby showers. And in times of sorrow, the goodbyes, the surgeries, the miscarriage, my family's deaths, her comforting and faith-filled words brought me strength and a reminder that there is hope beyond grief and life beyond death through the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. She knew her Bible, as was related to us by Melanie, and she knew the meaning of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. She believed it and made it the center of her life. The Bible was her source for wisdom, and she was able to apply her knowledge of God to her circumstances, and this kept her content. She chose God's ways over her own personal thoughts and deeds daily. She gave a constant testimony of God's presence in her life. She chose God's will and ways over her own ways daily. Anita believed in prayer. This was a normal part of worshiping God alone or with other believers. Her faith was a daily faithful commitment to Jesus Christ. We enjoyed singing quartets together. Remember those, Ron? Giggling all the way through some of them. And also giggling through our puppet practices for children as we recorded those beforehand on a Saturday night when we were all getting sleep weary and funny. She was one of the most hospitable and loving women we've ever known. She housed us on a regular basis as we traveled from Minneapolis to St. Cloud on the weekends to help get a church started there, the church that we both attended. And by the way, if you are listening now or watching later on this service, we want to thank you very much for giving up your bedroom for us to have. This meant extra cleaning, cooking, time, and planning. And she knew how to teach her children to become her teammates to accomplish great things. She was a gifted teacher of children. She was so memorable to them. She was full of good deeds. Her mind was disciplined. Philippians 4:8 was her guide, touching all of her life, where it says, whatsoever things are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, and of good report or commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is any virtue or anything worthy of praise, think on these things. And even in her poor health, in her advanced years, we saw God helping her to persevere in the face of extreme adversity, in the day-in, day-out grind of life. In her suffering, she still remembered God's presence and songs to praise him. Goodbye, Anita. You ran the race before you with such perseverance and faith. I'm so thankful to God for your big influence in my life, and I will add in my life as well. Your legacy will continue to inspire me as long as I live. We are thankful for your rest now in the presence of our Lord, where there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore.
Jesus, Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my strength is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Though the night be long, in my heart there's a song. I will praise thee while life shall last. Be my guide all the way. By thy side I will stay. Take my hand, precious Lord.
What a beautiful testimony to have, to know that the Lord is there to lead you through life and through that valley of the shadow of death on into eternity. Precious Lord, take my hand. And Anita knew that was going to be and is now her experience in heaven. I'm going to be turning to Proverbs 31. Just a few minutes this morning. And I want to be relaying to you some of the qualities of the virtuous woman here that I believe also were exemplified in the life of Anita Peterson. The Christian ministry, as some of you who have been in ministry and are still in ministry out there, brings about grave responsibilities, but also gives glorious opportunities. And the greatest testing comes when we stand in the presence of death. And it should cause us to consider where we stand in our relationship with God. In other words, what matters most in our life? I'm extremely thankful for what God's word says about death as the apostle Paul writes to the believers there in Corinth when he said the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. You see, Jesus Christ there on the cross conquered death. And it was verified and authenticated when he arose again from the grave. And Paul stated his own conviction when he wrote the words where he said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, folks, it is the Word of God from which we draw comfort. God's Word teaches us the greatest truths. God's word offers to us the greatest good. God's word meets our greatest need. And God's word holds out to us the greatest hope. In fact, it is called a blessed hope, a precious hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Excuse me. And the promise from the lips of the Lord gives us great hope and gives us great cause, again, to consider where do we stand in our relationship to Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John chapter 10, verse 29. And I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he asks that pointed question, do you believe this? And of course, a very familiar and famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 5, verses 11 through 13. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Notice that you may know that you have eternal life. And so my focus this morning, what does God's word say concerning the hope that is available through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And the challenge for all of us is that we would take time to examine our life and where we are at in our relationship with God. What is my relationship specifically to Jesus Christ? You see, life is brief and fragile. For what is your life, James says? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Death is certain. It's appointed that the man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. And the only way to escape the judgment of God upon our sins is to trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work there on the cross. And Anita did that early in her life. There Jesus paid the price for your sins, took the judgment that you deserve for your sins. And we could say with Paul, as he wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And he that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And so all of that to say this, this salvation is freely offered to whosoever will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is indeed the God of mercy and grace, and we need to place our hope in him and in him alone. And that's what Anita did. Is your hope found there? If you're not sure about having that hope today and would like to know more about it, I would be happy to show you this. Ron would be happy to show you this. Others as well. We'd be happy to show you from the Bible how you can know Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior. Dan and I met the Peterson family, as I mentioned, back in 1973. I was taking my last 2 years of college there at St. Cloud State University. And just after we had been married, we moved to St. Cloud in 1973 in August and began attending a newly formed church. It was about a year old, Granite City Baptist Church, Pastor Oliver Sandel. And I'm thinking, Ron, you and your family were there at that time, weren't you? And we got to know them. And we joined that church and became acquainted with Ron and Nita, David and Susie and Melanie. 1975, we moved down to the cities to attend Central Seminary. And during those years, we would travel from Minneapolis up to St. Cloud every weekend to do extension ministry at Granite City Baptist Church. And it was our joy and blessing to stay with the Petersons, who opened up their home and their hearts to us. And Ron and Anita were like a big brother and a sister to us. And we became lifelong friends. Such a blessing to serve together with them. Singing as a quartet, as we mentioned, recording puppet scripts for junior church, and growing together in our love for the Lord and a love for his people. And as we have gathered here this morning, in loving memory of Anita Peterson, I believe we will benefit greatly from her life of service to her Lord, to her family, to her church family, and to her friends. And so, all of that to say, let's go back to Proverbs 31. You probably got your finger there in your Bible or your Bible device. And I want to begin reading at verse 10, where the writer of the book of Proverbs, or at least this chapter, says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies." That word virtuous means strong in all moral qualities. Strong in all moral qualities. And as we look at that word and how it describes individuals, there's only one woman in the Bible who is called a virtuous woman. Ruth. And if you go to Ruth chapter 3 and verse 11, you're going to find there the pronouncement of Boaz, who is soon to become Ruth's husband, saying that you are a virtuous woman. He did some investigating, I'm sure, in the background. But he saw her life as well. And he carried out the responsibilities of the kinsman redeemer and made Ruth his wife. And as you read through this passage here in Proverbs 31, I believe that you'll be able to detect some common threads woven into the fabric of Anita's life that show that she too can be described as a virtuous woman. Notice her love is sure, and I'm just going to point out a few of these. In verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. And I know through the years of observing both Ron and Anita and their relationship to one another, that that's exactly what Ron was able to do. He safely trusted in her wisdom, in her insight, in her godly character, in her courage and convictions. And she satisfied her husband's every need, a woman of godly character and courage. Her loyalty is also sure there in verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Ron, you have been richly blessed to have a wife like that. Anita was absolutely loyal, dependable, trustworthy, true, beyond the price of rubies. And her hands blessed many people. She worked willingly with her hands, whether it was her love for crocheting, preparing food for her family, gardening, tending the flowers that she loved to grow. Ron mentioned that Anita would often quote the last part of verse 14 here when bringing food to a fellowship meal at the church. And since they lived quite a distance from the church, she would say, "I bring my food from afar." Anita was a hard worker, not afraid to be up, busy, energetic, and fulfilling her joyful duty of caring for her family. And more certainly could be said of how many of the descriptions and the virtues here of this virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 fits the life and the character of Anita Peterson. And when the writer of this proverb comes to the end of the chapter and to the end of this book of wisdom, he concludes by saying there in verse 28 how rewarded this woman is. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Her testimony to her husband and to her children, along with her testimony to her extended family and friends, is well known. And I wanted to have us focus especially on a threefold benediction that the writer gives here to this virtuous woman. And we find in verses 29 through 31. And he begins this benediction by saying, many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. In other words, this woman is a superlative woman. She's highly praised for her testimony and her godly character. And I know that you can all attest to that in your relationship with Anita. She's also a spiritual woman. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The inner beauty of the heart that loved God and loved her family shone brightly in the life and the ministry of Anita Peterson. She was a spiritual woman, and we benefit greatly from her. She's also a splendid woman. Verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And so I believe we are right to spend time remembering a life that was well lived for the glory of God and for the good of others. And Anita's life demonstrated how she viewed God. God mattered in her life. God was central. The supreme love of her life. And she practiced the clear command of the Lord when he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. My wife Nan has written in the back of one of her Bibles, a very small Bible that she was given many, many years ago. And I happened to see this just the other day, and I thought it was well fitting. It says, past, present, and future, bring the whole of your life to the whole of God. In other words, live your whole life for him. And for Anita, that was her pursuit. She did that because God mattered in her life. Truth mattered to Anita, God's truth. She loved to read and study and memorize scripture, as we've already heard, because she wanted to know that truth in order that she could walk in that truth daily. Her family mattered. Countless were the hours that she would spend in preparing for and caring for the needs of her family. Time spent together in encouraging one another to be faithful in serving the Lord and being a blessing to others. Her church mattered. How faithful she and Ron were to their local church in their attendance, in their giving, in their involvement, in their prayers for their pastor and fellow believers. And her testimony mattered. She wanted to be known for her faithfulness to her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She was not looking for the applause of men. What she desired was to have the approval of God upon her life. And that pursuit of the approval of God upon her life can only begin when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm certain that Anita would want the message of salvation to be made clear at this very important service. And I would begin by asking the question, what matters to you? Do you know beyond any doubt that your sins are forgiven, that you have a home in heaven? Now, I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but there may be somebody who will be listening to this, will be tuning in later on, and they've never made that decision. My friend, do it today. Today is the accepted day. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Turn to Jesus Christ from your sin and trust him. And he will give you that assurance of sins forgiven and a home in heaven. And you can have that sure promise of Jesus Christ when you do that. And when you do that, he will give you eternal life. You cannot save yourself. There's no amount of good works that you can do that will save you. The Bible is very clear. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the good news is this. This offer is for whosoever will. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. John 1 and verse 12. And so, Anita, thank you for your testimony, the legacy that you have left behind. What matters to you needs to matter to us. A woman of virtue, moral excellence in all areas of her life. And Anita's faith is now sight. God has fulfilled that promise to her. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And she leaves behind a biblical legacy of what mattered to her. God mattered. Truth mattered. God's word mattered. Her family mattered. Her church mattered. Her testimony mattered. And all this was possible because of her relationship to God through Jesus Christ. He was central in her life. And we need to have that as well in our life. Shall we bow for prayer? Father, thank you again for the life and the legacy that Anita has left to us on what mattered in her life. And may we see that that is important as well for us, to have you as a priority in our life. We are to seek you first in your kingdom. And we are to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I pray, Lord, that as we contemplate, as we remember her life and what she accomplished, she did it because of your grace in her life. And she desired to bring you glory through everything that she said, everything that she thought, and everything that she did. In all of our relationships, you mattered. And we thank you, Father, for that great challenge to us today. Thank you again, Father, for the example that she leaves behind, that we are to follow Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Steve's going to come and lead us in our closing hymn at this time. Steve?
If you need the hymnal, it's hymn number 38. Otherwise, the words are behind me. How great thou art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds I have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout thy universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thou art, how great thou art.
If you're able, would you stand with me on this last verse? When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation. If you're able to stand, please.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Say closing benediction, and then we're going to have the procession out to the hearse. God's word says in Romans chapter 16, now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all the nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.